thinking a lot lately about what I call cultural toxins. Those things that maybe are culturally acceptable, but actually hurt our souls. It could be the websites we surf, or the music we listen to. It could be the friends we hang out with. It could be the movies we watch, the games we play. All the things that so many people consider just culturally normal. They're acceptable. It's what everybody else does, but just because everybody else does it doesn't mean that it's right for us spiritually. These things may not actually help us grow closer to God. In fact, they may do the opposite. Hey, hang on a second. Hello? Yeah? Movie night? Awesome. I'll pick one up and be home soon. Okay, love you. Bye-bye. Well, I love movie night at our house, except for whenever I'm in charge of picking it out, it's always a little bit of a challenge. Why? Well, I like action flicks. My wife Amy, chick flicks, my kids shows. And quite honestly, sometimes it's kind of tough to find a movie that's appropriate for the whole family. What's interesting in our family, Amy and I, we had a debate, my wife and I, for years. She would say, Craig, do you think these movies that we're watching are really appropriate for us? And we weren't watching horrible stuff. We were watching, PG-13 shows, a few rated R shows, and I'd fight back and say, what do you mean not appropriate for us? It's not like we're watching porn or anything. And she just gently, over and over again, would kind of ask me, you really think these are helpful to us spiritually? Well, one time we went out with some good friends to a dinner, and we had these great spiritual conversations, just all about God and about our church, and really meaningful times. And then we went to a movie afterwards. Well, the movie wasn't exactly a Christian movie. In fact, this movie had so many different variations of the F-bomb. I didn't know you could use the F-word in so many ways. It had a couple of rape scenes, lots of nudity. And suddenly, the clash between this spiritual conversation and, quite honestly, this filth, it just riveted my soul. Now, I'm not some kind of fuddy-duddy that says, you shouldn't have any kind of fun or anything, but I started to ask myself, is this really helpful to me spiritually? In fact, there's a verse in Proverbs 25 that says, like a muddied spring or a polluted well is a righteous man that gives way to the wicked. Like a muddied spring or a polluted well is a righteous man that gives way to the wicked. I have to ask myself, honestly, I wonder if, as Christians, we've allowed ourselves to become too muddied, too polluted. Maybe our wells aren't exactly what God wanted them to be.
Well, we're at the last Sunday of our series. Have you enjoyed it? Well, six of you did, so that's good. I think it's been kind of life-changing for a lot of people. It's been interesting to hear the feedback and have a lot of fun with that. So what this series has shown me and what I've done is I've created a list, and this is our official Southern United Methodist Church list of the things you're not allowed to do and the things that you are allowed to do, movies you're not allowed to go to and the movies you are allowed to go to, and also dress code and the way we want you to wear your hair from now on. It's in the back. You can pick it up on the way out. I'm just kidding. We don't have a list like that. But churches do sometimes, don't they? I've visited a couple churches where all the women look the same. I wondered what was going on there. All had their hair a certain way. And that's legalism. And you can actually follow legalism and kind of stay safe if you stay in those boundaries. But I believe that God calls us not to legalism, but he calls us to discernment. Tell me, say amen. That was terrible. I can tell you didn't mean it at all. Discernment is where we allow God to show us what to do and where to go, what to be a part of. See, the great thing is you have the Holy Spirit. If you've accepted Christ as your Savior and ask for the gift of the Holy Spirit, then you have the Holy Spirit. Now, here's the deal. Here's what I think. I think this is the deal. A lot of times in the church, we think that there are certain people that God chooses and uses, and they're special people. Are you with me? So like God chose Billy Graham from a young age and raised him up to be this evangelist to the world. I forget what the figures are. It's like he's preached to 200 million people, I think. Or we think like Reinhard Bonnke. You ever heard of Reinhard Bonnke? I talk about him every once in a while. Reinhard Bonnke is this German guy, and he was a young boy and started preaching and kind of became this evangelist. He wanted to lead people to Christ, and he ended up being in Africa. That was where God showed him he wanted him to go. So we don't know that much about him because we're not Africans, but he's over there doing stuff. And so in one meeting, he had 2 million Nigerians in this one meeting. 2 million all at once. And you can go on the internet. You can see pictures of it. You can go to YouTube and hear him preach. Terrible preacher. Terrible. But 2 million people show up to hear him, so what do I know? And so 2 million people show up, and that night over 1 million people gave their lives to Christ all at once. So I guess he's pretty good. So, you know, God picks people like Reinhard Bonnke and Billy Graham. And in the Old Testament, God did pick people, right? I mean, he picked Abraham and Moses and Eli and Samuel and Saul and David and Jeremiah and Isaiah, and that's what God did. He chose people, and his Holy Spirit would come on them. So if you look in Judges, like Gideon, the Holy Spirit came on him and empowered him for a certain task at a certain moment. But that's Old Testament. And somehow, we still think we're in the Old Testament. And so somehow, we think that God chooses special people to do special things for him. Can I tell you the truth instead? You want to hear the truth? Yes. Wow, you're killing me. You're just killing me. You have got to help me out. Do you want to hear the truth?
Yes.
The truth is that Jesus left and went to the Father so that he could send the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit does not come on us. The Holy Spirit lives in us and will be with us, and he never leaves us. And so the anointing, listen, I just thought of this. This is good. The anointing that Moses had, you have. Wow. That's really good, right? You should write this down. There's a sermon section. You should write this down. The anointing that Elijah had, you have. Because you have the same Holy Spirit, and he's not just on you, he's in you. That is cool. I'm done. Show that last video. I'm just kidding. Well, here's what happened to me. I believe that one man can change a church. I believe that one man can change a family. Or one woman. Man/woman. I mean you all. I believe that one man/woman can change a school, can change a community, can change a region, a state, a nation, a continent. One man who is faithful to God. Because if you read Reinhard Bonnke's book, where he tells his life story, there's nothing special about him. I mean nothing, except for one thing. From the time he was a young boy, he never once told God no. Not once. So he's looking to reach, God gives him this dream, to reach all of England in a single moment. To preach the gospel to all of England. God, how can I do this? You gave me this dream. And he said, I want you to write a gospel tract and mail it individually to every single person in England. And he said, I'm not a writer. I don't do that. My team's not set up for that. We do crusades in Africa. And God said, I'll help you. And he said, well, we don't have the people. Don't worry about it. I'll be with you. I'll have you do this. And Reinhardt said, I asked him, why are you picking me? I don't write. Why don't you pick somebody who does this? This is what they do. And he said, I did. I picked three people, and they all told me no. And I know you won't. So I'm asking you. Isn't that awesome? See, there's nothing special about him, except he never tells God no. So 5 years ago, if you've heard this story before, just act like you haven't and go, oh, really? So 5 years ago, I really didn't have a relationship with God. In fact, I had a hard time saying the name of Jesus. Because to me, Jesus was very personal. So I would say when I was talking about him or leading, I was leading worship, and I was leading worship, and I would say the Christ or the Messiah or, you know, something like that. But I would never say Jesus because I really didn't know him. And it felt like a very personal thing. And I had this feeling that I was missing something. I was missing something in my relationship with God. But I didn't know what it was, and I didn't know how to get it. Have you ever had that feeling? Like, you're just not where God wants you to be? Have you ever had that? Now, I believe people were praying for me. I know my mom and dad were. A lot. And I know my wife was. But I think there were a lot more than that who were praying, help Todd get it. Please, please, Lord. We can't stand him another minute. Please change his life. So I kind of came to this realization that I didn't know how to pray. I didn't know how to apply God's word to my life. I knew the word of God. I'd read it dozens of times. I could quote it to you, scripture and verse, but I had no idea how to live it out, none. Now, I wasn't a hypocrite on purpose, I promise. I was trying as hard as I could to be what God wanted me to be. But then everything changed. And I began to seek God. And I believe it's because people were praying for me. And I began to ask those questions. What is it I'm missing, God? What do I need that only you can give me? Where's the relationship with you that I desire? Because I know it's got to be out there. I know there has to be a way to love you wholeheartedly and live for you with my entire life, but I don't know what it is. Would you send people to me to teach me? Would you help me? And he began to do that. And I started to spend time with God, which I'd never done in my life. And I would actually sit there. There's my wife. I'd actually sit where my wife is. And I would come in and I would turn that light on. This isn't the secret, by the way. It's just what I did. You can't sit there during the week. We have stuff going on. And I would sit right there and I would turn that light on and I would pull out my Bible and I would pull out my journal and I would sit and I would be with God. And there wasn't an agenda and I didn't have a list of things I needed or things I was praying for. I just spent time with God. And sometimes I would sit there for 3 hours conversing, learning, listening, having a relationship with God. And then there's a whole bunch of other steps that happen. But the end result is, I love me some Jesus. Man, I love Jesus. I talk about him all the time. I mean, don't we do that? Don't you talk about what you love? Don't you talk about what you're passionate about? See, if you like, if you love sports, man, you can't wait to find a guy to talk about sports. You go get your haircut at Sport Clips. Your ringtone is the ESPN theme song. You love sports. You're passionate about sports. And I could go on and on with other examples. Well, that's how I feel about Jesus. I'm crazy about him. Just crazy. And sometimes I'm just crazy about Jesus. But I didn't get there overnight. It's been 5 years. I love him now more than I did last week. But it started with this feeling that this is wrong. Something's wrong. I knew I was supposed to love God with my whole heart, and I didn't. And now I'm working on the other half. Now I'm learning to love people, which is harder. Because you know you. Goodness sakes. If you wonder if you're missing something, then I want you to think about the words that come out of your mouth. Because the Bible says, from the heart, the mouth speaks. From the heart, the mouth speaks. So what is it that you talk about when you're with your friends and with your family and in your neighborhood and at your job? What comes out of your mouth? What do you talk about? That's what's in your heart. And I could come up with a long list of rules. I'm not going to do it. Because at some point, the Holy Spirit trusted me. And he began to show me things in my life and in my house and in my bedroom, things I was watching, things I was listening to that did not please him. In fact, drove a wedge between me and him. And it surprised me. Some of them surprised me. Some of them didn't. I knew I wasn't supposed to be doing that or watching that, or thinking about that. I knew that. I just didn't do it. And so when I heard the voice of God and God began to instruct me, listen, I'm going to trust you with this too. That's why I'm not giving you a list of rules. I trust you. The Holy Spirit is living in you, is living with you, and will give you instructions if you listen. I want to read this scripture to you. It's from Proverbs 4, 20 through 27. It's going to be up here, but listen to this. This is from the wisest man in the history of the world, Solomon, and he's writing this. It says to my son, but it's to us. My son, pay attention to what I say and listen closely to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to a man's whole body. Now look at this. Above all else. I looked that up in the Hebrew. Above all else. You know what it means? Anybody want to guess? Above all else. It means exactly what it says. This is more important than anything. More important than anything I could tell you or write or give to you. This is the most important thing. Are you listening? Guard your heart. For it is the wellspring of life. And then he goes on and says other things. Guard your heart. Because out of the heart comes, another verse says, all the issues of life. Another version says, flows everything in your life. Everything comes out of your heart, so you have to guard it. So the Holy Spirit began to teach me how to guard my heart. And he'll tell you things different than he told me. He'll show you things different than he showed me. That's why I'm not going to make a list. Because I trust you. And if you spend time and listen, he will show you what isn't helping him and what isn't pleasing him. Look, there were certain people chosen in the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, guess who gets chosen? Everyone. Isn't that the greatest good news you've ever heard? You are chosen by God to be everything in the kingdom that you can possibly be. You are men and women of God with the Spirit of God living in you. And he has more for you to do. Because the kingdom works like promotion. You've had promotions before. If you start work at Walmart, you don't start as the manager. You start as the floor cleaner guy, bathroom swirly brush guy. That's your job. And then you get to stock shelves. And then maybe in a couple years, you move to cashier. And if you do that really well, and you get promoted and promoted and promoted, it works the same way in the kingdom. So when I hired on at Selma United Methodist Church, I was the poster maker guy. I made the posters. And then Lisa would have to check them to make sure that I didn't put bad things on it. I'm not kidding. Because I was so tainted that I couldn't discern what's good and what's bad, what's right and what's wrong, what's proper and what's not. I still wrestle sometimes with that. You know, like I'll say something, then I'll go, oh, that was inappropriate, wasn't it? But at least I have that going on now. And I got to move from poster maker guy to the guy who started to meet with people and talk to people and love on people. And I got to be in worship team, and they didn't let me talk much for a while, but now I can. I'm not kidding about any of this. Because I got promoted. And in the kingdom, you get promoted. And so you start at a low level in the kingdom. I don't know what level you're on. But if you know what I'm talking about today, then what you sense is, I want to go to the next level. I want to get to the next place with God. Because there's another place to go with God. But God can't take you to that place with the character that you have right now. Let me say that again, because that was really good. You can't move from level 2 to level 3 if you still have level 2 character. Won't work. You'll crash and burn. I promise. And I know a guy who got bumped up to level 5 and still had level 2 character. I won't tell you who he is, but he looks a lot like me. Okay, it was me. And the end result was moral failure. Because I didn't have the character for level 5 work. I didn't know how. I didn't know what to do. So when the Holy Spirit began to speak to me and began to tell me what he wanted me to do, what to change, what to stop looking at, what to stop listening to, what he was doing was preparing me for the next level of ministry. Are you with me on this? So every time you get bumped up and promoted in the kingdom, you go through a cleansing process. If you listen. Here's how it works. Let me show you this diagram I made. I think it's genius. In the kingdom, you get to decide what you want to be. If you don't want to change and you want to be who you are right now, then you keep doing what you're doing. I don't want to go to the next level. I like the level I'm on. Some people love to clean toilets. So that's great. If you want to do that in the kingdom, just keep doing what you're doing. Stay where you are. Keep doing what you're doing. But if you want to move to the next level, then you say, yes, I want all that God has for me. I want to be everything God has made me to be. I want to do everything God made me to do. I want to have what everything God wants me to have. All God wants. The next step is, then you offer yourself to God to be holy. And here's the scripture on this, Romans 12, 1 and 2. I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Not awesome? Not singing songs. That's not true and proper worship. True and proper worship is offering yourself to God. Some of you do that when we sing. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Don't you want to know what God's will is? See, you're like, I want to get to the next, I want to know what God wants me to do at the next level. Well, first off, you have to offer your bodies to him as a living sacrifice. That's the first step. Offer yourself to God to be holy. God, would you change me? Would you show me? Would you make me? And the next thing that happens then is You have two choices. When God shows you something, when the Holy Spirit shows you something, you can obey him. You can obey. Okay, I'm going to stop watching that. We made the decision, I did, this week. We were watching this show called Orphan Black. And it was kind of dark. But then this week I was like, that's it. It's over. I can't watch that. And the Holy Spirit had been talking to me before about it. And I was just like, meh. Isn't it great when we tell God how wrong he is? I think you're wrong. Have you read the reviews, Father? Because it's pretty good. You can either obey or you can ignore or disobey the Holy Spirit. If you ignore or disobey the Holy Spirit, you might as well go up there and stay where you are. Because you'll keep doing what you've been doing. If you obey the Holy Spirit, then look at what the rest of that verse said. It results in a transformed mind and knowing God's will, purpose, and your place in the kingdom. Isn't that great? At level 3 or level 4 or wherever you are, you get to know God's will for you moving to the next level and doing the next thing for the kingdom. If you don't allow him to transform your mind and you don't allow him to show you his will because you stopped, you changed, you wouldn't change. I'm going to stay right here. I really like Orphan Black. I'm going to watch it at least through the second season and then I'll obey you. You know, that kind of thing. Then you don't get to move. Unless you fake some people out. Because you didn't do the work to change your character to go from level 2 to level 3. Does all that make sense? It's really cool if you'll do it. And I trust you. Let me say this. It's a lot harder than me giving you a list. You want me to do all the work for you. And I'm not doing it. Because I'd be wrong anyway. Do the work. Go from level 2 to level 3. I believe one man can change a church. And I believe because God brought me to this point and made me who I am, brought me from 5 years ago from a guy who made posters and had to check on it to make sure it was okay to where I am now because of his grace and his mercy and his love for me. But look, his grace, mercy, and love isn't just for me, it's for you. I'm not special. I'm a nobody from nowhere. I grew up in Ridgeville. Are you with me? It's because I've allowed God to promote me. I want him to promote me. I'm asking for promotion. And he goes, okay, it's time for cleaning then. Now, the first couple of times I was like, oh no, not cleaning. And now when the Father says, hey, it's time for cleaning, I'm like, woo-hoo-hoo! Yeah, this is going to be awesome. It's hard work. But man, is it worth it. And I need you. The church needs you to go from where you are to where God wants to take you. We need you for that. There are lives in this room that because I said yes and no longer said no, because I said yes to God, your lives are not the same. Right, John? Right, John? Right, John? John? I focus mainly on John's. Your lives are not the same. Look, you have the same impact on everybody else if you'll do it, if you'll listen. Well, I'm going to have Craig Rochelle come back up and share with us a little bit more from his video. He's really awesome. This is something to add to what I've said. Don't think of it as separate. Think of it as part of, okay?
It's movie time, and this popcorn is good. If the color on your screen looks a little bit off, it's okay. Hang with me. It'll make sense as to why. Let's wrestle with the important question. How do we know what is beneficial, helpful, and acceptable in all the media and all the different things that we consume? There's a great verse in Scripture that's been really helpful to me. It's found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And here's what the Bible says. I want you to think about this. The Bible tells us to test everything. Test everything. Then we're told to cling to what is good and to avoid every kind of evil. Very, very helpful. Test everything. Cling to what's good and avoid every kind of evil. One of the ways I test everything is I ask myself, am I being entertained by sin? I know it's kind of a weird question, but think about this. Let's just take a TV show, maybe very funny, and it's funny in a sinful way. And I like it because it's funny. I have to ask myself, am I being entertained by sin? If the answer is yes, then what does the Bible say I should do? I should actually avoid it. It's toxic. It's not good for me. You may say, but it's so funny. Well, think of it this way. If I told you a very funny racist joke, would it be okay just because it's funny? The answer is no. Funny doesn't make wrong right. Ask yourself, am I being entertained by sin? The second thing is just ask yourself, does this draw me closer to God or does it draw me away from God? Does this increase my intimacy with God? Does it fill me with the things that matter to Him? Or is it a distraction from the things that matter most? Test everything, hold on to what's good, and avoid every kind of evil. Now you may say, oh man, this is like way too serious for me. This is crazy. I mean, what are you even talking about? All these cultural things, everybody's doing. It's not that big of a deal. Well, it could be that our perception of what's pleasing to God is very different than what actually is pleasing to God. For example, I believe a lot of people have a discolored view of what's right and what's wrong. For example, whenever we make a video, it's very important that we do what's called a white balance. We hold up something white, and that tells the camera what's true white, so it knows how to interpret all the other colors. For example, we didn't do a white balance when we started this. Now it's time for a white balance. Let's take a look at it and interpret what true colors are. And now all of a sudden, everything looks as it should. Here's a problem. Our culture will say, hey, this is right, this is acceptable. But God's word is true white. And when we interpret everything according to God's word, the purity of His truth, all of a sudden we may realize that there's a lot of things a lot of people are doing that don't really draw us closer to God. If there are some cultural toxins that are poisoning your soul, we're going to get honest about them. We're going to test everything. We're going to hold on to what's good, and we're going to avoid all kinds of evil.